Today we're going to continue on with the Holy Spirit. Let me just pray again before we jump in, okay? Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, forgive us. We take our eyes off of you, and we battle with the flesh and the spirit, and you've taught us that they're at opposition with each other. Forgive us for the ways that we've given over to the flesh, like the old ways this week. And I know that you're so good, Jesus, and you've encountered so much and endured so much to pay for my sin and the sins of everyone else here in our fellowship and listening online. And we just praise you for that. And we know that you make us new all the time. And so I pray that whatever you've given me to share, that it would help the sons and daughters that you created, knit together in their mother's wombs, and have walked with them every step of the way. So I pray that this would be something to help them, whether they need to be convicted of something, of sin, so that they turn from it, whether they need to be encouraged or loved or held. I pray that whatever words would come out of my mouth that you would give me that would do that for them would be the hug or the handshake or the correction, whatever it would be. Take it and make it what you know what we need, Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen. So we've been going, talking about the Holy Spirit. So I took these signs down, because today the Lord has asked me to kind of go a little bit of a different direction. But, you know, remember we had these Romans 12 motivational gifts. We were talking about spiritual gifts the past couple weeks. And this can be a daunting task when you look at these lists, and especially this one, because it appears based on what the scripture tells us and what the Holy Spirit's been revealing to me, that we're all knit together. And we come from a certain perspective. And so we can talk more about that at a different time, but that's not for today. And so those motivational gifts they become a starting point of how you're kind of put together and raised. And then from that, the Holy Spirit does fill us at times with manifestations of the power of God. And these are ways in which that shows up. The Holy Spirit shows up, he makes one of these things happen. That's exciting because sometimes it seems mystical and magical and powerful. It gets a lot of attention, right? And then the day-to-day working of the Holy Spirit works out to be as described in the second part of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, the ministries that the Holy Spirit empowers believers to do. You guys, these are all really important. But let me share with you an observation. I would tell you this, that sometimes something that's subtle is almost more powerful than something that's extreme and sudden. I mean, you've been to the Grand Canyon? No matter what you think about old Earth, young Earth, all of that, the fact remains that that big hole was dug subtly over time by the running of water through it, right? They can see that it's getting deeper. Right now, today, there's water running through it and digging a bigger hole. Now, where did it start? How deep was it when it started? I don't know. We don't have pictures from when it started, okay? We know that God is in control. Right? See, there's an opinion too, right? But what you see is these Holy Spirit manifestations and showing up, they're like this flash in the pan, if you will. And although helpful, the Holy Spirit is more than a flash in the pan. The Holy Spirit can be that water that runs, that's extremely powerful minute after minute and day after day. And so what I feel led by the Holy Spirit to tell you about him today, I want to offer you some information about what the Holy Spirit does from the scripture. And it might feel a little bit like a buffet, because I'm going to show you some things that he does based on the scripture, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit knows what it is that you need to hear today. Because the reason why I'm offering this to you is because I feel like the Holy Spirit is part of our faith that's often underutilized. It's a trash way to describe it. Like, I get it, but it's ignored. Holy Spirit, he's ignored, underappreciated, underutilized, misunderstood. And I want to show you why. More important and more powerfully than the gifts, in my opinion. See, I don't think that's working. They're going to have to plug that back in. So the Holy Spirit, the first slide, I just put the Holy Spirit. We're kind of talking about that. What I've found in studying and asking is the Holy Spirit, a couple of the things that, there we go, that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit brings you the power of God and the love of Jesus. Does that make sense? Because, I mean, who, you know, it's God's power, not the Holy Spirit's power that he brings. It's Jesus' love, which showed up in the fact that while you were still a sinner, he died for you. Like, you want to know about love. Love is this, that you would give up your life for someone else. There's no greater love than that. And so what you and I need, guys, desperately, is I'm sure where you're at, just like where I'm at, what we need is sometimes what you need is just the love of God. And anytime I get up there to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, I'm aware it's like roping the wind, or like the Holy Spirit is so big and he could cover the expanse of the earth, Genesis 2 tells us. And so I'm a little person with a little mind and a little, maybe not little body, but right, okay, kind of like portly body, right? But I try to get my arms around something so big that it can cover more than the expanse of the earth and try to put it into a box or on a plate that you can understand. It's a stupid exercise. I'm a fool for even getting up here and trying to do this with you. So I trust that the Holy Spirit will reveal him. But what I want to tell you, what's more powerful than the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the fact that what the Holy Spirit is doing is he's coming to bring the power of God, the truth of God, the will of God to God's people, and the love of Christ and the work of Christ, which you and I desperately need. So much more than a miracle, so much more than teaching, so much more than speaking in tongues, so much more than helping healing my aching back. Like, I need day to day the flow of the Holy Spirit in my life to bring God's love to me. Because I would venture to say whatever sin you get trapped in is because you feel unloved and out of control more than anything. You're afraid, and so you act this way. You feel unloved, so you get desperate for it. You feel out of control, and like you can't do anything. You're desperate and hopeless, so you resort to these things that are short of what God has for you, and we call that sin. And for me to say, don't sin, don't sin, how does that work? Right? Yeah, not for long, right? Like, oh yeah, I know you're lonely and you're all alone, but just trust me, you won't be alone forever. How does that feel after like 6 years of feeling alone? Like, it just doesn't, right? You're in pain. Oh, it's okay. When you go to heaven, pain will go. Yeah, I've been in pain for 10 years. It just doesn't help. It's stupid. It's foolish. What you need is the power of God, the love of Christ in your life. And when those things show up, you're going to do nothing but what's going to come out of you, right, is less flesh and more spirit. Galatians 5. You're all of a sudden going to be loving. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have patience. Not because you tried to have joy, but because you surrendered yourself and you were filled with the love of Christ and the power of God. And then everyone around you is better for it. Okay, first thing. Super important. The Holy Spirit dwells or indwells believers. 1 Corinthians, so you guys might want to take some notes because I'm not even sure how much of these things God wants me to read. I have notes, but I want to follow what the Spirit says because I don't want to just numb your mind like I've had to do other weeks. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Wow, that's huge. That's huge. That could be the whole week we could talk about that, but God sees you, not you, every one of you, not if you're saying not me. Nope. Everyone who believes. Everyone who's his. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Yeah. That's worth a hallelujah. That's worth a thanks. That's worth a, oh yeah, right? Come on, get an oh yeah, Chris? Oh yeah, that's good. Okay, talk back with me. It's going to get boring if we don't do this together. Secondly, the Bible uses this, and it, maybe it's not a terminology that we like to use, but it seals, okay? The Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. Like, we need the Holy Spirit to hold on until Jesus comes back to rescue us. Okay? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, if you're writing this down. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Do you see that in 13? It never said, once you started being good, you got this. No. When you heard the truth, right? The gospel, the good news of your salvation, and you believed in him, Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's in you, he's there, but he's a gentleman. He can be quiet and be there. But he's there and he seals you, right? Verse 14, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory? God gives you the Holy Spirit to help you hold on until you get to go home to where you really belong and were made to be. I mean, you can desperately make your house as sweet as it can be. You can fill your life with really great things. It's always going to fall short of what you were created to be. And I was talking to Brandy. I think the more that I live, the more I think when I see Jesus, you know, like, I didn't quite understand, like, oh, his glory would be so big you'd fall on your face. But I think it might be different. I think you're going to be so exhausted from fighting every day of your life that when you finally go to get to be with him, you're going to be like, oh, geez, just, like, leave me here for, like, a couple days, like, no more. Like, being a, I mean, if you're a parent, isn't that a fight sometimes? Are you married to someone? That's a fight a lot. Like, oh, geez, work. Mondays suck. It doesn't matter how much you love your job. It's just hard. Like, you're getting older. Things are falling apart. Like, the world's nuts. Aren't you just tired of this trash? Like, how can you do it? Like, when we get to him, we might just fall down because we're like, oh, finally. Right? I mean, okay, that's my translation for that, but so let's see, we'll go on to that next slide. I think I fell on the ground and messed it up here. Anyway, another thing I want to tell you is when we choose to yield to the Spirit changes us. Ultimately, that's what we need. Like, I'm not finished where I am, and neither are you. Thank God for the movement he's done in you, but he is doing something, and he's going to finish it. So Galatians 5 says this. We were talking about this before. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you don't do whatever you want. This is the problem with what the world offers you. You can be very spiritual and very fleshy at the same time. No. No. Instead, what it is, if you're being fleshy, you might be able to be pseudo-spiritual. Maybe I'll throw that word out there, like pretend spiritual, or just because, Laura, I talk in this voice doesn't mean I'm really calm on the inside or holy. God bless you all, and God bless you. If I put that on my email tag, it doesn't really mean that I'm a man of God. God bless you doesn't do that. You're either walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. Not both. Not halvesies, right? You're not like carrying two things. And so more things in your life, the flesh that's beat down and out of you, it's the way it works. You get tired of it pretty soon. You don't even want to do the things the flesh, this is the hope. You don't want to do the things flesh is pulling on you, and then you begin to walk in the Spirit so you can be changed. So then the Holy Spirit also does this. We don't like to talk about this because it doesn't feel good, but the Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Like, you need that. First of all, you need to be convicted of when you're falling into sin, but you also need the people around you in the world to be convicted about what's right, what's righteous, what's sin, you know, what kind of coming judgment's going to come. It also gets you off the hook a little bit, because then you don't have to be the Holy Spirit to other people. You ever been this? where you start like coming down on everyone around you. The Bible talks about that. It says sometimes we have a plank of wood in one eye, and then we're like, look at you. Look at that little, you got a speck, man. You got to like take care of that speck, right? Like, and you got this log in your eye is what the Bible says. So you don't need to do that. Like, your job is to take care of the log in your own eye, and then you might be able to help your brother or your sister with the speck in their eye. So if you flip to that for me, it's not working. John 16:7 says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." What's going on is Jesus saying, guys, I'm taking off. The guy who walked with these men and women, raised people from the dead, made food appear, and like out of places where food shouldn't be, right? This guy did miracles, walked with them, and he's like, I gotta leave. And they're like, what? Where are you going? He says, well, check it out. I got something better for you. Ooh, better? Better than the guy that can make food appear, make people raise from the dead, make storms stop? I got to see this. Heal people by spitting on the ground and rubbing mud in their eyes? I mean, if you got better than that, sign me up. He says, check this out. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. What? Yeah, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. We love that he convicts the world of those things. We don't love that he convicts the world of those things, right? Ooh, right. That's the tough thing to go. On the next slide, I put the Holy Spirit is the source of wisdom and knowledge. This is another thing, the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm kind of telling you, I want to give you this. These are also on the wall up here. That's what I've put up here, these scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the source of wisdom and knowledge. First thing he's doing, he's a teacher and a reminder. John 14:26 says this, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Super important. Do you need to know something? Do you need to learn, and do you need to grow? The source of that is the Holy Spirit. Right here in my hand, I have something we call the Bible, right? What's written here, the author is the Holy Spirit, who spoke to men throughout time, and he walked with men and women, and they wrote down the accounts of this and directions and instructions and stories, and we have it together, and it's here to teach us. And you could read this as a textbook, and that would be fine. It might fill your head with some knowledge, but when it becomes powerful is when the Holy Spirit teaches you what's in here. Okay, so he teaches you everything and brings to remembrance everything God's already told people. But he leads you into all truth. Some of these things that aren't in here, he's still going to teach you about. We talk about that, right? Like, there's so many answers in here, but sometimes your day-to-day, left or right, do this or do that, it doesn't tell you necessarily in here. And that might be offensive to some of you, but the fact is I married Brandy not because what the Bible says, but because what I feel the Holy Spirit told me about marrying Brandy. Now, we stay married, even in hard times, partially because what the Bible says about getting divorced and what will happen. Does that make sense? So it's more than that. He teaches you all that. Also, the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. And then the Holy Spirit teaches you everything. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Okay, there's a lot of scripture, right? You're going to want to reflect on that a little bit. But ultimately, I think what we need to see, one of the things the Holy Spirit's doing is he's teaching us. And he's providing us wisdom. At times, it becomes like a manifestation. In a moment, you get knowledge or you get wisdom that you didn't learn from study or experience. Does that make sense? That's the Holy Spirit, sure. That's a spiritual gift or a manifestation. Like, I just know, and I don't know how I know. Or, wow, there's just wisdom, and I don't know how I got that wisdom. But there's a different type, and that's also the Holy Spirit. And that's what we sometimes call the school of hard knocks, or there was a lot of tears behind learning that lesson, or a lot of pain. It's when you have a child, and they touch the heater for the first time after you tell them it's hot. Now they get it. Ow, right? They learned from pain that heater's hot. But the Holy Spirit, in an effort to transform you, is walking you through all of this, teaching you. Make sense? Okay. Do we need to stretch? We good? The next thing that we really need to address is we receive the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Who needs the power of God? Acts 1:8 said this, but you'll receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that scripture, it's the power of the God in your life that makes you actually a witness for him throughout the world. Ephesians 3:16 says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, this is probably what more of you were thinking about when you needed the power. You need to be strengthened in your inner being. Luke 14:49, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Okay, let's take our eyes off those words for a minute and just kind of focus in here. I want to bring this back. So first of all, I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit, he's the educator. He's the one that's training you and teaching you, like everything and all truth. The scientist or the inventor who discovered the things that you love, where do you think the idea and ability to invent and create came from? It's from the creator of that person. So everything that we need to know and learn, all the wisdom and knowledge that we need, that's from the Holy Spirit. So then, Rick, would it be appropriate for me to say, I just don't understand or I don't know. Holy Spirit, help me to know or understand. I think that would be really appropriate. Does anyone see why that wouldn't be? Because if so, please raise your hand. I'd love to hear. But I think we're in agreement, but I would present to you, we probably often don't pray that. There's probably a YouTube video for that, right? It's true, like we want the wisdom of man instead of the wisdom of God. We want the knowledge of man instead of the knowledge of God. Or we're stuck on what we've learned, sometimes wrong, to teach us. But we don't just come to the Lord and say, all truth and power of God comes to me through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need the truth and the power of the God of God, the King of Kings, the Creator. Like, ask for that. You want to walk in the Spirit? If you got those gifts, that's fine, but can we get to the most important thing first? Have a life touched by God. Have a life that shows the world that you're his, and that somehow you're different, whether that's weird or good, to the rest of the world around you. Like, this is how we get there. Like, Spirit, like you are the teacher. Now, what happens when the teaching isn't enough and everything's going wrong? What happens when it's hard to persevere through? Like the things that make you fall on the ground when you see Jesus. Right? The relationships, the health struggles. What happens when your inner being is sick and tired and exhausted and weary and hopeless? What kind of things do to treat that? Well, there's pills. There's Holy Spirits, right? We drink things. We do drugs. We try sex. We try exercise. We try to be really cool, make tons of money. Like, we try all those things, like, to treat that, like, oh, I need something to reach into the inner part of me that's sick. And what the Bible's saying is, that's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to do that. Fill me with the power of God to sustain me. Like, no matter what's happening right now, no matter how sick it's making me, like, you don't have to struggle and do it, but it's the simple surrender and fill, right? When we surrender our flesh, our desires, our abilities, our wants, our struggling and our striving, and we just stop and it's like, Lord, I need your power to heal, your power to persevere, your power for patience, your power for love, your power for peace, your power for gentleness, when I don't feel like manifesting it myself, and as a matter of fact, I can't for 365 days a year. Like, I give you all of that, and I need right now for you to fill the inner being, strengthen it, so that I can make it through what I'm facing. That's gold, guys. Isn't that what it should be about? I mean, don't you love the stories where people triumph over tragedy? Don't you love it? They're like, how in the world did they keep that up? Right? Like, that strengthened. I think I've shared with a lot of you, my father-in-law, Brandy's dad, sorry, I didn't even ask you about this, but it just came to me right now, but he was paralyzed in a car accident, 21 years old. Lived out 19 years, passed away when he was 40 years old. I met him, let's see, I met him, what, 3 years before he died? Two years before he died. I got to know him. The guy was in a wheelchair. He couldn't move from here down. Had a tremendous amount of joy, more joy than me, who was like 17 and completely able. And he was excited about crazy things like Hot Wheels cars and painting little, oh, my dad painted that little bird statue. And I thought to myself, he can't use his hands. How did he paint that? But literally, they put in his hand, in a splint, they put a paintbrush, and he would do this even though he didn't have fine motor skills. And like, he got so much joy in spite of what seemed like trash circumstances. And that, my friends, is inspiring. That's inspiring. Like, we should be people filled with the Holy Spirit that would inspire, be like, what happened to your story? Like, wow, how could you keep your head up in the midst of all that? It's because I was strengthened by the power of God through the Holy Spirit in my inner being. And along those lines, the Holy Spirit helps us. Do you need some help? I know I need some help, right? But yeah, not just that way, okay? Not the kind that a counselor would provide, but that helps too. The Holy Spirit helps us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps you and helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And there's the scripture right there. It says right there, even if you feel like you need to pray and you don't know what to pray for. And a lot of people believe that this scripture is referring to, you know, prayer language or a gift of tongues of angels. And I'm sure it can, but I'm sure at times, sometimes I've used this where it's just like, God, I don't even know. What are you praying for? And he gives me words in plain English that I understand, and I can pray those. That happens that way too. But we need help. Even in our ability to plead with God, we need help. And then John 15:26 says, but when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Like the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. John 14:16-7. You get enough biblical evidence of what I'm saying here? John 14, if you write these things down and you kind of sit there and read them and pray about it, and the word we might use is meditate, even though it's been hijacked by New Age movements, it's still a really good thing to do, to focus and concentrate on this, because maybe this is, you need a helper today. John 14:16-17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Wow, what a sweet promise. Maybe I should have started with that verse and we could have just sat there for like half hour. But there's all these questions I get like, Will, Pastor, hey you, whatever they call me, what do I do about this and this? And me and good friends were just talking about this last night. Like, I mean, how, with all the things you feel like you have to do and all the pitfalls, I mean, what, how do you walk this out? How do you live? I think we do too much. We think too much. We try to act too much. We have a message from God that tells us, like, He's the Savior, not you. He's not the destination which you save yourself to. He's the Savior who comes to get you wherever you're at when you call out and you cry out His name. It's a very different thing, guys. It's a very different thing. If I could just get to the, it's when you're empty in your car, you got to get to the gas station. But we're talking about, no, wherever you break down, you cry out and the fuel comes to you. Very different situation, right? Yeah, that's another hallelujah, ooh yeah minute, right? That's what we've got. We've got the helper. Like, Jesus is like, you thought that was cool when I spit on the dirt and wiped it on the guy's eyes, right? Or I stopped them from throwing rocks and killing the girl who was cheating on her husband. Or you thought that was cool when there was like a kid had some fish and bread and we like fed a mountainside of people and then we had enough. We had like leftovers. Only no Tupperware to take it in, you know? So you thought that was cool? Or when you're on the boat, you thought you were going to drown to death, and I was like, stop, and the storm stopped. Like, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to get this helper, and he's going to be with you, not only with you, but in you forever. Wow. The next one, the Spirit comforts believers with fellowship and joy as they go through a hostile world. This is 1 Thessalonians 1:6 and 2 Corinthians 13:4. I don't want to read all of those to you. There's some notes here. Write these down while I'm saying this to you. What I want to tell you about this is what these two verses are pointing out is this. The Holy Spirit does this too. He comforts. He comforts. I know this is near and dear to my heart, like the inner part of me, man. Like, I need to be comforted at times, especially in our culture of offense that's everywhere, right? It's crazy. But check out how he comforts. In 1 Thessalonians, so it talks about the joy with suffering. The joy in suffering by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13, it's like fellowship. So the Holy Spirit comforts you with joy and fellowship while you enter and walk in a hostile world. If you were to walk out the beliefs outlined in the Bible, would the world around us be hostile to the way that you lived and what you believed overall? Would it be? Yeah. So wait a second. You're telling me, Lord, that you can comfort me with joy, that just, I don't know where it's coming from, but I have it, and also fellowship, like being together. So that's why you leave your house and you come here. Like, this place should be a tool. The people around you, to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you, they should help you suffer well. They should help you endure the hostile world. Does church do that for you? Like, church, right? Does it? It should. And the power to do all that, because, you know, Grace, if you're going to do that for Brandy, if you're going to do that for Grace, you'll wear out real quick. You're great ladies. I know both of you. You're great, great women. But you'll wear out. And so at some point in time, it's like, Holy Spirit, like, I need joy. I need fellowship in facing this world that's coming against me. Like, that's the Holy Spirit, too. We can pray for that. Look at all these cool prayers we're getting, guys, just by looking at this. It has nothing to do with arguing about which gift is in place. And was that a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge? doesn't matter. Like, the Holy Spirit, man, is better than walking with Jesus. How about this? Holy Spirit regenerates and renews. Like, how many of you guys just trashed yourself this week, basically? Like, you just did you're destroying yourself, and what you need is to be renewed. You need to take Jesus up on his promise that he is faithful to forgive us when we confess our sins, and that he is making us new, a new creation, that we get to be in Christ. Like, who needs that? He regenerates and renews. Like, when you feel like you got nothing left, can you ask the Holy Spirit to just, like, bathe you with the living water, or bathe you with the blood of Christ, or just bathe me with your power so that I can be renewed and rejuvenated? Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration, or washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Like, you're saved not because of what you did, but because God's mercy. So there's a prayer, right? Like, oh man, geez, Brenda, I trashed it up again. Like, I did it again. You have those moments? Really, I did it again. And then what you think is, you think there's like a holy timeout. That's the way I'm going to describe it. You get that? Okay. So whatever it is, there feels like there's a punishment, which is true. There's consequences for your actions, right? And correction. Like, if you're in a relationship with someone, a husband, a wife, a kid, a parent, if you do unloving things towards that person or untrustworthy things towards that person, there's consequence, right? There's going to be a strain in your relationship. Now, but if you do those things, the only way out, one, is, you know, to really be repentant or to stop doing what it is you're doing. But also, there needs to be healing. There needs to be renewal and rejuvenation. And that's the Holy Spirit that does that. And it's not always a holy timeout, right? Like, okay, so, you know, you just said something really unloving, so now that person is going to put you in a month of timeout, and God's going to be unhappy with you for the next month. This is how we live. That's not what the Bible says. I talked about the prodigal son, that it wasn't like, okay, when the son came back after spending all his father's money and doing all the things that he knew was wrong, and the father didn't send a messenger out and say, okay, here's a tent. Now, if you can do all the right things and be good, in 60 days, I'll let you move back in the house and we'll have a party. That's not what he did. He ran to him. He kissed him, right? He gave him, like, he wrapped him in great clothes. He killed the fattened calf. He had a party without any sort of penance from his son. So you and I, as people, when we say, oh, I did it again, I mean, stop, right? Your part is stop. Don't do that again. And if it's an offense towards God and there's no other person involved, then apologize to God and turn from that. Like, nope, I'm sorry. We turn, we repent, right? If it's a person, then you go to that person. I'm sorry for what I said or did, okay? But then you come to God and you say, Jesus, your work that covered my sins, everything I just did was already paid for by that cross, if I'm willing to let you take it. You get that? Like, the blood on the cross paid for your sin, even though that happened a couple thousand years ago. So then you go to God and you're like, man, Lord, apply your work to me through the Holy Spirit. However you want to do that, Lord, would you renew and regenerate, like, heal the broken part? It says he does that. Maybe that's what you need to pray today. And then also, the Holy Spirit is the power. This one's, guys, this is like probably one of the hugest for me. Because in the absoluteness of our world, the Holy Spirit is the power that brings dead things back to life. Yeah. Why is that so important? Because do you know that there's more than the death of a person that's death? I mean, there's so many things in this life that are taken and killed and destroyed. They're twisted so much, they're killed. Like your joy. Oh man, there's like a funeral for your joy. There's death. There's death for relationships. There's death for how you feel about yourself. There's ends and terminations. And sometimes those things are okay and good, but the Holy Spirit is the power. Like if you have relationships or the way you look at yourself or the things that you've done, the holes that you've dug, the Holy Spirit is the power that brings dead things back to life. Right? And I think Brandy and I, we've said this to you and we'll say it again. We feel like our marriage was going to die at one point in time. Like, I mean, you did all the stupid things we all do to each other, especially when you get together with someone when you're 17, right? And you spend the next 20 years like really destroying each other, honestly, and it can create death in a relationship. But the Holy Spirit is the power, and he used people and circumstances and forgiveness and like so many things he used to bring back to life something that was dead. And some of you have those stories too, the way you treated yourself or the way you looked at yourself. Maybe there was a death of a relationship and you need, even if that relationship's not going to be brought back, maybe you need to be brought back from the dead. In Romans 8 actually tells us that the Holy Spirit is who raised Jesus back from the dead. It's also the power that's going to bring you back literally from the dead when everything is made new, right? But you and I, not only we have that hope that makes us conquer death, but we have hope in this life that the Holy Spirit brings back to dead. Last thing I want to share with you. The Holy Spirit pours out God's love on us. I mean, we live in community. We live in community, but God created us individually. And what we learn from what's written in the Bible is when we face him, we're accountable to him individually. And when we get into community, the danger is each one of us is a work in process. And so even in our best intentions and our well-meaning hearts, we hurt each other. And there's really nothing else in this earth that is 100% selfless, 100% dependable, 100% unwavering, and that's God's love. The people you love, you want to be that for them, but you will get sick, get selfish, get afraid. Like, you'll come to your end, and everyone who loves you can only depend on one 100% reliable, all-powerful source, and that's God. And so when we have such a distant God, guys, and the circumstances tell you and they scream to you that God's not good because you suffer, that God's not good because you feel distant, that God's not here or not present, and so how do you, if there's no Holy Spirit, get God's love to you? You can only look two ways. One, circumstances, and what are the circumstances telling you? God loves you? Probably not all the time. Sometimes, man, it is like Christmas morning and you feel God's love, right? Sometimes it is that. But sometimes circumstances are like, wow, either you're distant, you're angry at me, or I've gone so wrong, God, that like you're done with me. If you're waiting on your circumstances to receive God's love, you're going to be waiting a while. And you'll be pleased and then disappointed. But ultimately, all these things the Holy Spirit does, they're actions of God's love for you. And this is what I want to leave you with, is kind of worship team comes back up to the front, is there's a lot of things that we can be praying for. And I think if you look at these notes, I hope that the Holy Spirit's popped something out for you that might start another discussion or lead you into a different way to ask for the Holy Spirit to intercede. Because so many times we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit and we're like, you're standing before God and like, I know my life is falling apart, but could I just speak in tongues, please, so I can feel close to you? Or I just need prophecy, or I just want healing. And all those things are awesome and cool. But ultimately, I needed to probably give you the more important list of the more subtle things and powerful things that God does in the life of every believer, right? But more than anything, if you would begin to see who you are in Christ and God's love for you, it would change the way you behave. If you think you're going to change the way you behave and think in order to win God's love, you're going to wear out and you won't get there. We love because he first loved us. He loved us while we were still sinners. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? While we were unfinished. Like, he poured out his love on us. He clothes us in power. He comes to where we're at and rescues us out of the mud. And so what I want to do together is they're going to sing a song here, and we're going to go down with the lights, because we just think it's cool, okay? Here's a word for you. If you know like a Zoomer around you, like a Gen Z, like these guys over here, like you can use this word this week, okay? It's what Ross and these guys are doing today. Did you see it? It's a vibe. There's the word for it. It's a vibe. It's a vibe in here. So we're gonna make a vibe. And in this vibe, what I'd ask you to focus on, maybe God's asked you to pray one of these little prayers we talked about, but more so, could we just sit in the presence of God and soak in. This word that we use, filled by the Holy Spirit, it can be used to mean like absorb like a sponge. So what if you, even though you're so much smaller than God, even though your mind is small and you can't understand the whole breadth of God, what if right now, as we take these notes, and I'll leave these up here for weeks if you didn't get all the scriptures, they're right there on the wall. If you're at home, you could email us at the church, we'll give you these verses so you can kind of go over those. But right now, would you just like, sponge yourself, okay? Sponge yourself in the vibe. And would you just ask God just to share his love with you while we sing? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, it's really all about you and your power. And so we surrender our flesh. We surrender the worries, the issues, the problems. We give that over to you. The things we have to do, our responsibilities, we give it to you. The people counting on us, we give it to you. Our past, we give it to you. Our future, we give it to you. And we stand with open arms. Lord, I pray that as we just sing these words or listen to these words, that we would just sit here and just absorb and soak in the love that you have for us. Holy Spirit, bring the love of God to us. Bring the power of God into our inner being so that we can deal with whatever it is that we'll face today. Praise be to you, our Father and King. Amen.